This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Welcome back to Pomp and Joe. I'm out of Studio B in Monroeville, and we're trying to decipher the mystery that was the Steelers' joint practice with Tampa Bay yesterday. Ray Fittipaldo comes on to help us do that. Read Ray's stuff at postgazette.com. And yes, everybody loves Raymond. Ray, it's some of these deleted tweets that truly have my attention from yesterday. Rick Stroud had a couple of those from out in Tampa. I'm not even sure at this point which ones were deleted and which ones weren't. Doesn't really matter to me now. He said that Todd Bowles told him Mayfield and Evans played so well yesterday that he doesn't need to see either on Saturday in the game. He tweeted that Mike Evans couldn't be covered and won most of his battles with Jalen Ramsey, and that the Steelers secondary did not look good. How much of that can you confirm?
Yeah, well, that's interesting because, the Tampa reporters were told what the rules were, but obviously they don't have those same rules down there. I actually think it's funny. We go through this every year. I wouldn't say it was a great day for the Steelers. I thought it started okay for the Steelers offense. Didn't end well for the offense, and I thought the defense probably just – let's just say they pretty much struggled all day in coverage. That's probably a good way to put it. So all the talk about the corners and what they're going to do this year certainly can still come to fruition. I mean, you're going to have a pass rush in games, and you're going to do different things in games. But for one day, I think Tampa probably won that scrimmage in fairly easy fashion, I would say.
And just out of curiosity, Ray, before we move on, I'll call it protectiveness paranoia on the Steelers' part, and maybe the Bucs' part too, I don't know, is about what with these scrimmages? That scheme type information's going to get out, or what? Why are they so concerned about you reporting that? If somebody reported, "Hey, Aaron Rodgers looked great running around out there and made some nice throws on the run." How does that compromise anybody schematically?
I think they're more concerned about reporting who's running with the first team, second team. How are they deploying their personnel? What types of packages? I think they're much more concerned with that than saying Aaron Rodgers rolled right and picked DK Metcalf for a touchdown. But, what the Tampa Bay reporter did do that was fine, Stroud, what he did calling Todd Bowles and having Todd Bowles confirm that's within the rules. You just got to get a coach or a player to confirm what happened on the field yesterday. So I'm sure some of those tweets are still up, but apparently some are down too. I didn't know that, but that's pretty funny.
Well, okay, Aaron Rodgers. I mean, that's what led the show today, because we can sit here and talk about Cam Hayward, and we will, and the running game and the secondary and the boastful words from everybody about this defense and a trillion different things, and Broderick Jones. The season, at least to my way of thinking, boils down to Aaron Rodgers, and it's like it's still like a total mystery, and he's not going to play in a preseason game, it looks like. It's going to be unwrapped in New York in the season opener. The little bit that you saw of him yesterday and generally, how does he look? Is he moving around? And what can you tell us that you're allowed to tell us about Rodgers?
I'll just talk generally about what I've seen throughout training camp. I think when you get in goal-to-go situations, you know, their so-called seven-shot drill, with they do pretty much every day during training camp. I thought he and the first-team offense represented themselves very well, both against the Steelers and against the Bucks yesterday. That was confirmed by players on the field yesterday. I think Rodgers and the first-team offense were three for three from the two-yard line. I think where maybe some of the struggles took place in training camp was more, middle of the field stuff, maybe some stuff with, you know, the 2-minute drill not always working out. There were some occasions at training camp, Joe, where they would swiftly move the ball down the field in the 2-minute drill, and then there would be a pick at the end or in a complete pass, and then, you know, they couldn't get it done. So I don't know what the scorecard said for the entirety of training camp, but I think the defense held them out more than, you know, the offense got in on the 2-minute drill. So, you know, certainly some things to be encouraged about, you know, the goal-to-go situations, and then some things to work on if you want to talk about the 2-minute drill and, you know, some of the stuff when you're operating in the middle of the field.
It seems one clear concern that even Mike Tomlin in some ways alluded to by sort of challenging Caleb Johnson yesterday. I can't find anybody who covers the team that tells me the running game is progressing nicely. What can you say about that?
It's not. The blocking is certainly a part of it. And Isaac Seumalo hasn't been around much during training camp. I think he's going to be fine for the regular season, but they've been very careful with him. So that's part of it. But you heard Mike Tomlin and Andy Weidel talked yesterday just about how Caleb has to trust himself. And I think that happens sometimes with rookies. Maybe you're nervous in your first game, or you're nervous in your first training camp, and, you know, you're trying to do everything right, but sometimes you're just swimming in all the information. And I think Caleb is going through that right now. So, not a great first performance against the Jaguars. And, he was challenged by his head coach yesterday, and let's see how he responds on Saturday night.
What's your opinion of Jaylen Warren as, you know, a so-called bell cow type of back?
Yeah, I don't think he's going to be a bell cow, but I think he's firmly entrenched as RB1. He does everything. He can run the ball. He's their best receiver out of the backfield among the running backs. And he's their best pass protector. And Kenneth Gainwell is right behind him as a receiver out of the backfield. I mean, Gainwell and Warren are right there, 1-2. You know, Gainwell has made plays all over the place. So I think they're going to use all these guys. I think early in the season you'll see Jaylen maybe not even come off the field. And then you'll see some Gainwell sprinkled in. Then I think you'll see some Caleb Johnson sprinkled in, on first downs. Yeah, probably not on passing situations, but I think you'll see him in there when they want to run the ball a little bit. So they're all going to have different roles, but just the way that Caleb has struggled in pass pro and as a receiver out of the backfield tells me they're not going to trust him too much to put him in there in passing situations.
Ray Fittipaldo of the Post-Gazette joining us. All right, let's move on to Cam Hayward then. And we have a clip to play for you, Ray. I don't know if you know, but this morning – Cam's podcast dropped for the week, and it's part of it is Jalen Ramsey and Darius Slay on there stumping for Cam, saying basically, come on, let's pay the guy. This is Jalen Ramsey from Cam's podcast this morning.
We can't wait to be on that field with you week one after, you know, everything go down, everything gets situated, everything.
You helped TJ out.
We need all of y'all out there, man. Mr. Omar.
Yeah.
Man, I got a lot of respect for you, Mr. Omar. You taking care of me, TJ, it's Slay.
You know what I'm saying?
Cam is next. We excited, man. We got potential to do something great if we got all our guys out there happy and feeling like they're valued. You know, I know a little something about, you know,
yeah,
feeling valued and getting what you deserve. So
yeah,
I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm with
you. I'm with you.
And then Slay went on to say, basically, stop playing here. Let's get him signed. What do you make of new guys sort of walking in and lobbying on Cam's behalf with a new organization?
Yeah, I think players are always going to have player backs. I don't care if you're the number 90 guy on the 90-man roster or, you know, number one like Jalen Ramsey. That's always going to be the case. You know, the one thing I'm struck by, Joe, throughout this process, like former GMs like Doug Whaley and former agents like Joel Corey, who works for CBS, I don't know if you saw what Joel said, they're both putting this on the agent. There was no reason for Cam Hayward to sign a one-year contract if he wanted to play on a one-year prove-it deal, which is basically what he's asking to do. So you don't usually see like people in the agent business come out and say, yeah, this was a mistake. And like even for a guy like Doug to put it on an agent, you know, Doug might want to get back into things eventually. You want to keep those relationships. So the fact that those guys are so outspoken on how this was mishandled by the agent, I think speaks volumes. And just when you look at it, just from, you know, a fan perspective or from a journalist perspective, he signed a three-year contract. He wants to come back after 1 year and redo the deal or get more money guaranteed to him when he could have just signed a one-year deal. So I, you know, unfortunately for Cam, I think the Steelers are going to wait a while to see if he comes back. And then if he doesn't, they might try to sweeten it before the season starts, but they're not going to renegotiate this deal and give him a new contract. The only solution is maybe advancing him a little bit of next year's roster bonus, which is probably a last resort for the Steelers.
Well, it sounded like Cam alluded to that too and said he'd be okay with that. It seems like such an easy solution to take some of that non-guaranteed money from next year and, you know, sprinkle it on top of this year's. So why hasn't it happened yet? And could this get real ugly? Could you picture Cam sitting a game or two?
I can't picture Cam doing that. He's a team captain. I think something would be done before it ever got to that point. And I don't think the Steelers want to set the precedent. Now, I know there was a precedent set with AB back in the day. I think it was 8 years ago or so, when they did something similar to him. But they don't want to be in the business of doing this if somebody outperforms a contract. They would be doing it every single year. And you know, the one other thing you have to mention about this is I think they're like 18 or 20 million under the cap. They got room to maneuver. But if Cam wants 7, 8 million, you still have to maybe go get a number two receiver if Calvin Austin doesn't come back from this injury soon. I mean, you do have to have a little bit of wiggle room with that salary cap. So if they do intend on going out and getting a receiver, it's not going to be cheap. So that might be part of this whole process as well.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Ray, can they, the money that they've already paid him in that roster bonus, the 13 plus million, right. can they try to take some of that money back? Can they start fining him?
They can't fine him now because he's in camp.
Yeah.
So the only way they would start fining him is if he skipped during the regular season, and then he would also miss game checks. But the interesting thing, Joe, is he's on a $1.3 million salary. So prorated, that's like, what, $75,000, $80,000 a game, which he might be willing to sacrifice.
Right, because he has his money.
He has his money. So I don't know what the daily fines or the weekly fines would be from the team. You know, those could certainly add up. But, you know, if he wanted to take a stand, I think he could do it because of the salary. I just don't think he would do it because of what is number one, he's a captain. But number two, I think when you start doing that, you kind of go into Le'Veon Bell territory. And I don't think if something didn't get resolved there, I don't think Cam would want to be remembered that way.
So merely the fact that he's in camp, even if he refuses to actually practice,
right,
as long as he's in camp, they can't fine him. In other words, if I show up to camp, I can say, no, I'm not taking part in any practices. I'm not going to practice. Right. Even in the week leading up to the opener, could he do that without them fining him?
That is correct. They cannot fine you.
That's not a form of insubordination at all?
No, I mean, that's a quirk in the CBA that maybe the owners might want to fix the next time around, but it's been an effective tool for players. T.J. Watt did it a few years ago, Joe. He held out until the Friday before the opener. They got that deal done, and then he was good to go. He wasn't fined or anything like that. Deontay Johnson did it a few years ago.
I know they weren't fined. Yeah. I'm wondering if that option is open, though. It's one thing to say, yeah, we're not going to choose to fine you. It's another one to say, yeah, we could if you refuse to practice, but you're telling me it's not even an option.
Only during the regular season, Joe, but I will double check that once I get off the air. And if I'm wrong, I will let you know. But I think it's only during the season that they can fine you for a holdout. What they're doing now during the offseason, being present, going to meetings, being a hold-in, they cannot fine you for that.
All right, Ray, we're going to move right into a game of free association if Limits gives his blessing. Limits, may I do that?
You are blessed, Joe.
Here we go. I got a lot of them, Ray. That's why we're starting it early today. You ready?
I am ready.
Aaron Rodgers will be a top 5, top 10, top 15 or below 15 quarterback this year?
I will say top 15.
Over under 5.5 touches for Caleb Johnson in the opener.
I will go, that's actually a pretty good number. I will go over.
Who wins the punting battle, Ray?
Cam Johnson.
Broderick Jones will be a great, good, average, or below average player this season.
I'll say average with a chance to be good.
Who's going to be the worst player on that offensive line?
The worst player? I mean, it's not going to be Frazier or Fautanu. Say Amalu's established. I mean, I like Mason McCormick, but if you're talking about ranking him 1 through 5, like if Jones plays to his potential, yeah, probably McCormick would come in at number 5. But, Jones has to go out there and prove it. He was not one of their better linemen last year. You can make the argument he was their worst. So he's got some work to do.
Are they going to bring in another receiver before camp is, or before the preseason ends?
Depends on Calvin Austin's injury. And Austin's been out for more than 2 weeks now. So keep an eye on that. That's to be determined.
When will the Cam Hayward situation resolve?
I'm going to go with game week, Jets.
Interesting. Boswell before that?
I don't know that Boswell gets done at all. I think they're going to take care of Boswell after the season.
Interesting. Will that cause an issue?
Did Jalen Ramsey and Darius Slay do that for Boswell too, or just for Cam?
I don't think so. I don't think Boswell came up in that conversation, because remember, Ray, they're about to be one of the greatest defenses of all time, so they want all their guys out there for that, right?
Boswell's got to get his own podcast, I guess.
I think. All right, Ray, thank you. We'll talk to you.
All right, Joe. See you.
That's Ray Fittipaldo. Up next, how about that Boswell take at the end? I didn't expect that. Did you, Limits, that this won't happen this year?
Yeah, I mean, it's been so quiet, Joe. I kind of feel like that nothing is going to ultimately get done, especially because, you know, he's a kicker. We know how good Boswell is. He arguably was their MVP last year.
You don't think he'll get a sweetener or anything this year? I think he will.
I think it's possible that they give him another million. It's not much of a sweat off their back, but it doesn't seem like much of a priority compared to Cam.
I don't know. It's hard for me to tell what's going on over there. But I think Ray meant a new contract, and I agree. Neither one of them's getting a new contract.
No.
That doesn't happen for non-quarterbacks. When they have more than 1 year left on their deal, it just doesn't. All right. I'm very excited about the next guest, Seth Wickersham, ESPN senior writer. He has a new book out called American Kings, a biography of the quarterback. And it's about, for one thing, the fact that only 10 or so people in the world can do this at a really high level at one time. How is it that it's such an exclusive position and so hard to play? Like, what are the keys to becoming a great quarterback? I want to ask him about Aaron Rodgers. I want to ask him about next year's quarterback class. And I also want to ask Seth about a piece he did, I don't know, 6 or 7 years ago on ESPN about Spygate and how that impacted the Steelers. All of that with Seth Wickersham. Next, Ray Fittipaldo was brought to you by the Western PA Injury Attorneys of LGKG, serving as your home team for over 90 years, lgkg.com. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. And the text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates Personal Injury Law Firm. They always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Ray also was on the fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Listen to this. On Tuesday, August 26th, it's FanDuel Futures Day, a new holiday for football fans. 24 hours of deals on all your favorite football season predictions. Take a flyer on the MVP race, right? I may go back to Jordan Love again, although he had that little hand issue. It sounds like he'll be ready 100% for the opener. I don't want to just make the obvious pick. I'm wondering if Christian McCaffrey is ready to go here this season. Might that be a dark horse pick, crown your champion in August. Thinking maybe the Ravens. Perhaps you don't want to hear that, but that might be true.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Welcome back to Pomp and Joe. It's just Joe today. I'm out at beautiful Studio B in Monroeville, where they basically built us our own palace here. Bob rejoins the fray on Monday. In the meantime, on the Sullivan Super Service fan hotline, we have ESPN senior writer Seth Wickersham, who is the author of a brand new book. And he's also a New York Times best-selling author, I might add. And the new book is called American Kings, a biography of the quarterback. Seth, I appreciate you joining me here today, sort of last second. So, yes, I really appreciate you taking the time. And I wanted to ask you right off the top here about the book, the most glamorous position in sports, also the most difficult, in my opinion, and so few play it at an elite level at any given time. It's really hard to find one of these guys. And after being spoiled for many years in Pittsburgh, we've been harshly reminded of that. We don't know where the next one's coming from. So my question is, besides the obvious, which is physical talent, and even sometimes you don't need an overabundance of that to be a great one. Look at Joe Montana and Tom Brady. What's the most important trait needed to become a great quarterback?
Hey, Joe. Yeah, it's great to talk to you again. Oh my God. If I knew the answer to that, I would have flown my private plane to Pittsburgh and met you in studio and then flown back.
Well, I thought this is what the book was about, to find answers to these questions.
I'm trying to figure it out. I think that it comes down to two things. And I do think that, I think that we talk about how, oh, these guys can make all the throws, you know, whatever it might be during the draft process. And like, they actually can't. And there's actually really only five guys a generation, maybe three, who can make all the throws. And when I say that, I don't mean in a preseason game or in a September game. I mean in late January when everyone is injured and you're hurting and the windows are smaller and the margins and the pressure, are so much more scrutinized. So I think that like there's just very few people who can do that. And even though we think that a lot of quarterbacks can, and then the intangibles make the difference, I actually think that it's rarer than that. And even Joe Montana and Tom Brady, even though they were wrapped up in bodies that didn't look very athletic, their arms were generational. And then the second thing I think, and this is really interesting, is that I think that you have to be willing to make everything about you. And I mean, I know that sounds kind of crazy, but like there is so much pressure on quarterbacks nowadays and so much intensity surrounding the position and so many ways that can warp you. I think you have to be willing to go to a place where you're willing to put yourself at the center of your own kind of ecosystem and shamelessly let everything revolve around you. You have to have the ego to make everything about you. And that is a really interesting thing. And I think it's also one of the reasons why when a lot of these guys retire, especially the greats, they struggle, because it's a trait that's essential for greatness as a quarterback, but it's uniquely ill-suited for life away from being a football player.
That makes sense. I mean, it just blows my mind that we've reached a place over the past many years, really, where, of course, the best athletes are going to be quarterbacks. And these people are groomed to be quarterbacks practically from the time they're zygotes, and they have quarterback camps and they have these great offensive minds in college. And yet we're left with five of them or eight of them who can play the position at an elite level, like you said, especially when it matters. I guess one of the things that stood out, and I can't remember whether it was you or someone writing about the book that stood out, is the ability to process the game. And I think we've seen troubles with that in Pittsburgh with the likes of Kenny Pickett and Justin Fields. What does that mean, and how important is that?
Yeah, well, so one of the interesting things when you talk about quarterback evaluation is that we're evaluating them quarterbacks from a college game that really doesn't resemble the NFL game. I mean, it's not the same thing, and it's because the dimensions are very different because of the hash marks. And so because of that, there have been a slew of really, really, really smart college coaches who have figured out ways to create huge amounts of space for college quarterbacks to throw and put up huge statistics and, you know, have great college careers, but it has no predictive value whatsoever. You almost have to discount statistics. And in the NFL, a game that is primarily played in the middle of the field, college is mostly played on the outside, you know, you have to be able to react a half a second to, you know, 25% of a second faster than you do in college. And a lot of factors go into that, and not everyone can do it. And so when we talk about processing speed, they often talk about it like, you know, is this guy smarter than that guy? That's not it. It's about reacting. It's about seeing and reacting. Like, there's a reason why people like Dan Marino and John Elway never became coaches, because remember, Magic Johnson would talk about this, where like the things that came natural to him that he could just do,
yeah,
other people couldn't. And he got so frustrated with doing that, with seeing it. And so I think that like, Dan Marino doesn't know, well, at least now he's in the 60s, but for most of his adult life, he has not known a day where he can't throw a football where he wants, whenever he wants. And that simply doesn't exist for everybody. And having the ability to just see an opening and react to it and make it that easy is very, very rare.
Seth Wickersham, ESPN senior writer, and his new book is American Kings, a biography.
I want to go back to really quick. Yeah, yeah. One thing you mentioned the youth circuit. I mean, I go really big into that youth circuit, and it's fascinating because it's starting, it's a multi-million dollar, you know, business, you know, the business of developing young quarterbacks. And you see them on Instagram where you see these guys, oh, the next Tom Brady, he's 13 years old. I mean, that is so dangerous,
right?
And so unfair to the kid, because, I mean, A, that's just wrong to do to anybody, but B, that discounts everything that made Tom Brady, which was the fact that he was broken at Michigan and almost went undrafted and had to figure out a way to rebuild himself. And, like, when I went to Elite 11, there was someone there who's a longtime observer of, like, all of this elite, you know, all of these quarterback camps and training and showcases, and he was like, we're basically breeding little a-holes, and it's true.
Yeah.
And the thing on top of it all is that, like, you know, I was talking to Steve Young about it for the book. It's like, these things are so cool, and I would have loved to do it. I would have loved to be part of all these camps when I was growing up. But does it make you any closer to being the guy, to being one of four first ballot Hall of Famers? No, not at all.
Where can people get the book, Seth? What's the best way?
Oh, man. So it comes out September 9th, right in time for football season, and you can get it anywhere you buy books, from Amazon to your local independent bookstore, which, of course, we love supporting.
I absolutely do. All right. I have questions about quarterbacks. Do we have one here in Pittsburgh who can still play the game at a high level, in your opinion?
I think he can. I'm bullish on Aaron Rodgers. I think that he's not who he was 5 years ago, obviously, but I think that when you get a great quarterback, a future Hall of Famer with a chip on their shoulder, I think that's a really good place to be in. And I think that it helps that he's walking into a situation in Pittsburgh that, like, look, it's come under some scrutiny because the Tomlin era has been fantastically successful by any measure, and yet it seems to have plateaued at, like, making the playoffs and then getting out, which is kind of a strange place to be in. But, like, there's a program in place. He doesn't have to come in like he was with the Jets and kind of figure out a way to, you know, teach the game to people or be the program himself. I think that, like, he's coming in and being a cog in a machine, and he knows that even though he's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer, you know, people are wondering if he still has it in a way that they didn't when he went to the Jets. And I think that's a good place if you're a Pittsburgh fan to be in.
Well, regardless of how he plays, there's an idea out there and they're putting all kinds of resources toward this. It would appear that the draft is in Pittsburgh next year. It would appear that they're going to go all in on a quarterback, drafting one next year. So I don't know how up you are on next year's draft class, but if Arch Manning is there, is he absolutely the best prospect? And who's right after him, in your opinion?
I mean, I have no idea. That's so difficult. I don't think that Arch Manning will declare unless somehow that he wins a Heisman Trophy and a national championship. And even then, I'm not so sure. But, like, you know, we just got to let this stuff play out. I mean, like, Arch Manning has yet to make a real impact in college football. And yet, he's one of the characters in my book. I mean, I write about in eighth grade when he was playing in a spring game for Isidore Newman High, and he did an audible, just like Uncle Peyton. You know, he did a little hand signal and signaled a slant route into a go route, and it ended up being a touchdown. And it was like, he was 14 years old at the time, and the hype took off like a rocket from then. And it's only continued. And so it's kind of interesting to, like, look at him as a case study, what it's like doing this uniquely American job with that level of fame and expectation and hype. Even so, he still has to play. I mean, that's the thing. It really means nothing if, you know, until you play. And there's a lot of football to be played between now and, you know, the end of college football season, and a lot of analysis to be done between now and the draft. So I have no clue on that stuff.
There's so many different facets that we could talk about with quarterbacks too. And I think one of them that at least from the reviews I read that you touch on, is some of it is blind luck of where you wind up. And I often wonder about guys like Arch's grandfather, Archie Manning. You know, he wound up with a joke of an organization, expansion team with the Saints, a guy like David Carr. Then there's a guy like Ben who walked into a beautiful situation here in Pittsburgh where he could be brought along slowly. You wrote about Caleb Williams and his father's concerns about landing with the Bears. A lot of this is luck of the draw, is it not?
Context matters. It really does. Like, we like to think it doesn't, but look at Aaron Rodgers. I mean, like, the Jets have been so bad at drafting and developing quarterbacks, and even you have someone like Aaron Rodgers who comes in, and, you know, he can't overcome an organization in that much chaos and a place that poorly run. I mean, it has a huge, huge factor in determining a quarterback's success, and there is a reason why John and Jack Elway did what they did, why Archie and Eli Manning did what they did, and why Carl and Caleb Williams considered doing the same thing. And that's because, you know, going to an innovative, going to a solid organization, going to being coached by someone who's an innovative offensive mind, and there are very few of those guys, or at least someone like Mike Tomlin who knows, who has a program, you know, that stuff is rare and it matters so much. And you are absolutely correct because there are so many. One of the things I think is really fascinating, I don't write about this in the book, but I think about it a lot, is that like there's an entire quarterback economy in the NFL nowadays of guys like Sam Darnold and Baker Mayfield and Geno Smith, guys who came in to really bad situations, weren't able to overcome them, understandably, and then took a year, kind of found a good situation to learn from. And then when they get their next chance, it's like everything has slowed down and it kind of clicks for them. And they're able to, they may not be future Hall of Famers, but they're really good NFL players. And that to me is, that says it all. And that explains why where you get drafted, which is something that you have no agency really over at all, why that matters.
Right. I guess unless, as you pointed out, you're Elway or Eli Manning, it has at least crossed my mind that if you're the people who are influencing Arch Manning and you know that the Steelers are angling for a quarterback next year, and I know that Archie said, well, he's staying in college. Well, that can change. Would they try to angle for a solid organization and try to let it be known, yeah, we're not going here, we'd rather go there? I at least wonder about that. You know what I mean? Am I crazy for wondering if they could angle for a better organization and if they might see the Steelers as that and needing a quarterback?
Maybe. I mean, I think that, like, you know, it can you stomach it? If you go back on YouTube, watch John Elway's press conference that he gave with his dad tonight of the draft, when after telling Baltimore to not pick him, they picked him anyway. I mean, it is a piece of entertainment that if you think you can't watch it without thinking how awful this would go over nowadays. I mean, Elway comes off like a toothy, preening jerk, and so does his dad. And he kind of knows it. You can watch Elway in the moment where, you know, he's kind of saying these jokes about the Colts, and he knows it isn't going over well. And he knows that this is going to come back to haunt him. I mean, do you have the stomach to do that? And do you have the talent to do it? And I think that there's, you know, those are two very distinct questions. But sure, I don't think it's the last time we're going to see it. I mean, at the end of the day, Caleb Williams was the one driving, you know, his bus. He strongly considered all of those questions and, you know, decided that he wanted to try to make it work for the Bears. And even though his rookie year was, you know, rookie years for quarterbacks are about survival, but even though he had a lot of growing pains and the entire coaching staff got blown out, all of his fears and his dad's fears ended up coming true. They got what they wanted. It took a year, but they got what they wanted, which is like a smart head coach who knows offense, and his fate is tied to the fate of the quarterback.
Exactly. Two more questions for ESPN senior writer Seth Wickersham. And this book sounds fascinating. American Kings, a biography of the quarterback, be out the first week of September. And they're both related to things you've written in the past, and they're both related to the Patriots. Seth, you wrote a book. You wrote a book about that dynasty, which was spectacular, I might add. How do you think Belichick fares at North Carolina?
I think he's going to do really well. Like, here I am, the guy who's bullish on Rodgers and bullish on Belichick. I mean, I think he's going to slap around people like Dabo Sweeney, and their offenses. So I think it's going to be a fascinating challenge. Now, does it mean that they're going to be a national champion contender? Like, I don't think so. I think that, like, I think it's harder in college to make up the disparity in talent, but I think coaching can go a long ways, and I am so excited to see the things he does, especially on the offensive or the defensive side of the ball. I mean, again, like we were saying, I mean, like, college offenses, college quarterbacks put up these huge numbers that have zero predictive value for the NFL because they figured out a way to exploit the space on a college football field that you can't do in the NFL. And I think that he thrives on challenges like that, especially as a defensive mind. And I'm really excited to see, you know, him throttle some of these offenses.
Me too. I can't wait to watch it. Last question is a story you did with Don Van Natta a while ago on Spygate, the best story that came out. It was on ESPN.com. I don't know. This was probably 10 years ago now, something like that. And I want to bring up a paragraph. I do a segment each week with Chris Hoke, a former Steelers nose tackle. Mm-hmm. And it's not hard to find former Steelers and former Steelers coaches like Hoke who will think that they were robbed by the Patriots. A paragraph from your story went like this. Some of the Steelers' defensive coaches remain convinced that a deep touchdown pass from Brady to Deion Branch in the 05 AFC Championship game came from stolen signals because Pittsburgh hadn't changed its signals all year, sources say. And the two teams had played a game in the regular season that Matt Walsh, who was that, you know, the Patriots guy, told investigators he believes was taped. And then, quote, they knew the signals, so they knew when it went in and what the coverage was and how to attack it, says a former Steelers coach. I've had a couple guys on my teams from New England, and they've told me those things. So where are we left in Pittsburgh here, in your opinion, Seth? Are these guys justified in believing that they were ripped off?
Yes, and they should have changed the signals.
Yeah.
I mean, look at what happened to Michigan today. I mean,
right.
look at this penalty against Michigan today for sign stealing. It matters. Like, you know, like having it, seconds matter in football, microseconds matter in football, as you know. And I mean, if you have a pretty good idea of where the ball is headed, that is a huge advantage. Anticipation is everything. And yes, it helped New England. I mean, they did it for a reason. They got several warnings from the NFL to stop doing it, and they did it for a reason. But also, the Steelers should have changed the signals.
Yeah.
I mean, like, the league had sent out warnings. I mean, people knew around the league that the Patriots were doing this. And, you know, at some point, if you do business as business is being done, and if the Patriots are dressing up someone incognito on the sideline and recording signals so that they can, in the second half, make better adjustments than everybody else, it's on the Steelers to switch it up.
I hear that for sure. Your story, though, prior to that, for all those years, it had been a very nebulous thing, like spy. How did they really use it? When did they use it? Your story was the first story I saw that put Spygate, the cheating, the stolen signals, to a specific play, Brady to Deion Branch, in that AFC title game. It was a pretty powerful piece.
Yeah, I mean, they did it when they beat the Steelers in Pittsburgh during the 2001 season. I mean, the Patriots, the genius of the Patriots and of Bill Belichick is that, like, you know, they weren't one of those teams that was built to blow out everybody by, you know, 20 points and then spend 4 years rebuilding. I mean, they were adaptable, they were interchangeable, and they were built to win the seven or so plays a game that determine, the outcome. And the margins were very, very small. I mean, remember that 2001 AFC Championship game? You know, they returned a punt for a touchdown. I mean, that was the difference in the game. And so these are incredibly, incredibly small margins that the Patriots knew how to exploit, you know, better than, you know, any franchise that we've ever seen and may ever see.
Is it a blight on Belichick's legacy?
I think so, but I also think that it's a blight that he's overcome. I mean, you know, he's the greatest football coach of the Super Bowl era, but coaches never know how the game's going to go. And, you know, I have, in my book, Mike Shanahan was talking to me on the record about how he wished he had thought to cheat as much as the Patriots did. Because right. Nobody, what's the league going to do? Like, they're going to fine you. Big deal. You know, it's like you get the ring. I mean, you get the championship. That's what matters. And that's how a lot of these very elite coaching minds thought at the time. And, you know, so as smart as Bill Belichick was, he still didn't know how the game was going to go. And he looked for every advantage he could. And if it fell into that gray area or even crossed the line at times, I think there was a period of time where they were willing to do that. Now, I don't think that they did it throughout. Deflategate, I think, was clearly they were breaking the rules, but I don't think it was an organizational thing. I think that it was mostly Brady and the ball boys who, you know, it was a different situation. But, you know, Patriots are interesting. I mean, you know, they're a great dynasty that spanned 20 years, and they also lost 3 first-round draft picks due to penalties.
Right. Well, you can read all about that in an earlier book from Seth Wickersham, and his latest one, American Kings, a biography of the quarterback, will be out first week of September. Seth, thanks for taking all that time at the last moment. I really appreciate it. That was great.
Great to talk to you, man.
All right. See ya.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their 6-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The 4-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more, plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.